We'll get into today's podcast in just a moment. Our podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. KPP created a strategy designed to accommodate investors who have a lower tolerance for risk, but still desire some exposure to the potential growth of the stock market. Learn about our balanced income program. And when you're ready, just go to investtalk.com and click on the investments tab to find out more about it. And now, today's Invest Talk.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Monday edition of Invest Talk. And Invest Talk is all about information, perspective, and answers to your immediate questions. Our program is produced live between 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. If you call then, we can have a conversation. We're also here to provide some encouragement for those who want to learn and to commit to learning. So we're open to any money questions. And one of the other ways we can help, and we try to help, is our Saturday morning wealth conferences. We don't have them too often. There are three-hour sessions devoted to a more in-depth presentation and discussion. We're excited about this one. This one we're having coming up here in February. I think it's also timely, and its volatility can be an opportunity. And so we're titled Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. But like any other opportunity, you have to be prepared. You have to understand what it is. As Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, February 20th in San Jose. 9 to noon, February 20th, San Jose. And what we'll learn is planning some strategies that, you know, retirees and pre-retirees can use to minimize the negative impact of a volatile market, or how to take more risk and utilize the volatile market. There are ways you can do both, you know, protect yourself and try to take advantage of it. So we're going to show you how to be defensive and how to be offensive. And how to find the opportunities. Now, these few weeks of 2016 certainly have been record-breaking, as I've told you. It's been one of the worst beginnings, or the worst beginnings of January of any year for stock market. So it's been pretty much an object lesson so far about volatility. Now, will these market movements that have been triggered by oil, stock price expectations, Chinese market fears and economy fears, these kinds of volatilities really shouldn't come as a surprise to investors. We just don't have had them that many. But still, today's market is causing some great anxiety. The market is good at that. Did you ever notice that? A recent American College survey of retirement income certified professionals showed that 60% of their clients were concerned about the recent market volatility, and that the recent volatility significantly increased their clients' concern about retirement security. Those findings shouldn't surprise anybody. Of course it's going to worry people. So the question is, what's the lesson here? What do you do? What do you need to create a plan? Do you have a plan? Do you know how to implement it? These are kinds of things we're going to talk about. So please join us February 20th, San Jose, this Saturday morning wealth conference, 9 to 12. It is a timely one. Do you have questions about our conference? Or, of course, any money questions you might have might come to mind. 888-99-CHART. Give me a call now.
I had just received a notice in the mail from my 401k that I can either withdraw it or use it for a rollover fund. And being that right now I have some bad credit in my life, and I was have this lump sum of money that I can either pay off my credit or use some of it with one of my public bank, out of Alameda. And I tried to get a secured credit card to try to fix my credit, and I was wondering if this might be a good time to fix my credit and start the ball all over again. I'm only 30 years old.
Well, I don't like taking retirement accounts and using them for things such as paying off debt that you've gotten into, or fixing the problems you're in. You know, one of the reasons why I don't like it is because you start doing it and you keep doing it. Now, I want to go back to your employer said it's okay to roll it over to an IRA, but that means if you take it, it's going to go to your, you're going to be adding it to your adjusted gross income for that year, and you'll be penalized because you're only 30 years old. You're going to pay a 10% penalty and pay income tax on that money. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. No, I would not do that. I would not start all over by taking my retirement money and get me, you know, paying all that money out, penalty and taxes, just so I can start over. So the answer would be no. You keep it in a retirement account. Roll it over to an IRA. Keep investing. That is your retirement account. Pretend you cannot ever touch it. That's what I would do. But I'd also fix my credit. I'd take, you know, try to keep working on that to try to clean that up. You really got to do that too. What's the market do in the next 5 to 10 years, do you think? The 5 or 10 years before retirement, how dramatically will the market move up and down? And what should you do about it? Protecting your nest egg in the retirement red zone. No, about 10 years before retirement, but at least 5 years before retirement. That's one of our talking points today. Also, consumer confidence raises much better expected in January. Don't you find that odd with the market being so bad? So we're going to talk about why that is so. Brutal facts on the stock market. I'm going to give you some brutal facts on the stock market so far this year in January. And finally, the Chinese economy is not melting down. So a lot of pieces being written out there that the Chinese economy is going to fall apart, it's got problems. I don't think so. Why do I say that? Well, I got some facts that I'll share with you. What is your risk number? Now you can measure your risk tolerance and see if your portfolio fits that number. Use the Nobel Prize winning software to measure your risk tolerance. That's the first step, matching your portfolio to your goals and your risk reality. What is it for you? It's free and you can do it anytime you want. Takes a couple, 3 minutes. Look for it. It's a free risk analysis in the blue box on investtalk.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We're going to go to Stan in Temecula. How you doing, Stan?
Good. I've been very perplexed about something. I'm hoping you can help me out. The question is, looking at stocks that have a high short ratio, is that a red flag for you as an investor? How do you interpret the number? Does that equivocate to more risk in a stock? Or
very good question, okay? Because there's not really a very simple answer to this. If you have a lot of short interest, for everybody else, Stan, when I answer these questions, I try to answer in general enough so everybody else has some interest in the question. A shorting a stock means you think the stock's going to go down, okay, when you short. And Stan is asking, when you have a lot of short interest, a lot of shorts of the shares of stock, that means a lot of people, some big institutions, somebody thinking the stock is overvalued and going to go down, not up. And they're going to make money if it does, but they have shorts. So the assumption is that if there's a lot of short interest, that must mean there's something wrong with the stock because a lot of people think it's going to go down. And Stan, that's not necessarily so, first of all, number one. And number two, having a lot of short interest is actually supportive of the stock price because what happens is those people have to buy the stock to get out of their short somewhere, sometime. That's right. How you get out of a short. You buy stocks. So if there's too much short interest, and now what does that mean, too much? Then you want to stay away from it if it's too much short interest. How they translate that, Stan, one way is to hard to borrow stock. The stock could be hard to borrow because when you're shorting, you're borrowing the stock and sell it short. So if you're hard to borrow, it's either hard to borrow because there's not many, very many shares in the float and it's just not borrowable, or there's too many shorts, and it's hard to find the shares to sell short. What you really want to look for, Stan, is the increase of short interest, that more and more and more shorts are coming on board. That tells you more and more people are being convinced that there's something's wrong with the stock.
So if you take a stock like Apple, for instance.
Yes, okay.
I don't happen to know what the short ratio is, but what would be an alarm for you? If,
okay.
Let's say that the short ratio is 5. If you saw it go to 10, then you'd be very concerned. But if it was a very high number, like, say, 15 or 20, and it had stayed there for a while, you would...
I wouldn't be so concerned. I know it sounds odd, because I know that all those people may get short squeezed and drive the price up. Put it this way. I don't want to be part of the crowd. I want to be ahead of the crowd. When you're part of the crowd, it doesn't work very good. So what you want to do is look at the percentage of number of shares of the float. If it's only a few percentage points, that's not very much. That's normal. If it's 15, 20%, get nervous. Don't short it.
Looking at it the other way, does that indicate that people think that Apple's going up then because the short ratio is so low?
Yes, that's what that means. And their short ratio is very low, and therefore people think it's going to go up.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call, Stan.
Do you have questions about FDIC security, mortgages, money market funds, losses to your retirement plans? Give us a call today, 888-99-CHART.
David Freeman. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing all right, Steve. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to ask you something. I believe you agree with me if I tell you that investing in properties, you know, real estate, you know, at some point is... You know, it's kind of painful going through, you know, vacancies and try to make this place to be in the market and rent it again.
Right.
And I was looking at getting the option and invest in stocks. And I read it the other day that investing in stocks, the returns is better than real estate. Are you agree with that?
Yeah, over long terms, yes, it is better than real estate. There's different kinds of risk, though. Real estate is much less risky, David, in the long run. Stocks are more risky. Therefore, there should be a better return in stocks, and there is over long periods of time.
I mean, I'm not in stocks. I mean, I don't know how that works, and I understand very little. I mean, there's companies out there that say, okay, we manage, you know, your portfolio, just if you have a certain amount of money.
That's what we
do. And we can manage for you, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you guys do, like, say, you guys buy and sell it on the right time.
David, money managers such as us, KPP Finance, that's our firm, you know, you allow us to trade your account. Basically, that's what's happening. And we will buy and sell mutual funds or stocks, depending on the kind of account you have and you want and how much money you have. We will manage your account for you, and you pay us a small quarterly fee to do that.
So you guys, let's say you guys have a stock, you guys like it, and you guys just purchase and...
Yep.
That's what it is?
Yeah. We make the decisions of buying and selling for you. You just look at your account and make sure that no one's stealing your money. And the way to do that is you use an insured, SIPC, SIPC insured custodian. A company, a big company that's insured by our government, holds on the money. Therefore, if you do that, then a money manager can't get the money.
Like Bernie Madoff. That's what he did.
Yeah. He was a custodian of his client's money, so he just stole it. Don't do that.
Like me, I mean, you guys you do that for a living. Yeah, I mean, you
That's
guys
right.
manage. I don't understand those charts, you know.
Most people
buy,
don't, David.
When that to buy, you know, what price you should sell it. I mean, I tried that before, and I lost.
Yeah, most people.
I mean, I never made any money on stocks.
I hate to say this. Most people try it. And we know, Justin and I and my firm, we know they're not probably going to be successful. We'll be happy to teach you, but it takes so much work, David. It takes a lot of time and effort. You know,
and knowledge, much as that. You can try and try all you want, but if you don't really have the knowledge and the expertise to really understand a lot that goes on in the markets, not just about specific companies, but the economy in general, different types of assets and things like that.
And see, that's why you hire people like us. It's as simple as that. Dave, if you want to talk about it, give me a call at the office or send me an email, and I'll talk about it and tell you how we do it and what we do.
Definitely. I would like to, because, I mean, I already have two properties, the rentals, and I know it's a pain in the rear. And, you know, I would like to.
They are a pain.
I don't know. There's something else besides that.
Yeah, I've had rentals for many, many years. They are a pain, I must say. David, give me a call. Yeah. We'd love to talk to you.
All right. Very good, Steve. Thank you so much. Sell
the existing homes in the U.S. is at the highest level since 2006. Did you know that? Give me a call. We'll talk about real estate if you want. 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Protect your nest egg from stock drops in retirement red zone. In retirement red zone, what this article that is from USA Today is referring to as if you get closer to retirement, and they're saying between 5 and 10 years from retirement, you don't want to get unlucky and get out of a growth portfolio and now into retirement right after a bear market. And that can happen. In other words, drop your account so much that now you can't retire, really. So how do you, you know, that 5 or 10 years as you're getting closer to retirement, how do you, what do you do? Can or should you do anything? And the thinking is here, yeah, you probably should start re-evaluating your risks that you're taking in your portfolio. Maybe you don't want to take as much risk. We have perfect programs for that, to reduce the risk, maybe move to more of a income-producing account. And that's one of the main things you need to determine. How much income do you need in retirement? How much income does the portfolio, does your portfolio need to produce? Okay, and don't just get out of all risky assets. That's not really the way you should do it. You should start to manage that risk and start reducing the risk. And you have to gauge, well, is it time to get really conservative or stay pretty aggressive? And it's hard to know, give a straight answer to everybody, because it depends on their personal risk tolerance, what the market is doing, how the economy looks. Because what you can do in a portfolio is diversify away from risk. You don't, I mean, you can't diversify away from all risk, but you can diversify away from it. And if you do happen to get unlucky, you can always work longer. Delay retirement. And don't forget inflation, by the way. Inflation will eat into your retirement nest egg. You got to think about all those things. But when you're getting 5 to 10 years out, wherever that is, these are things you start to think about. What should I do? Should I still be in this high-risk growth portfolio? Or should I start to change my risk profile? And that's our talking point today. 888-99-CHART is your number, 888-992-4278. Tops on our list of priorities is your calls, as you know. So bring your question to us anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Phil from Oklahoma City. I listen to your program podcast, and I'd like your opinion of GE, General Electric. Thanks.
Well, GE is a perennial blue chip stock. You really can't go wrong with owning it long term, even though it had a big problem in the financial crisis, because more than half their earnings were in financial part of GE. It was a big, you know, financial company. But the other part, now that it's pared itself down, manufactures transportation, energy generation, consumer appliance, industrial, medical equipment. That part was what they are now. Is a much better looking company, in my opinion. It's much more focused on those things as opposed to financing. So looking at GE, I kind of like GE. I mean, I know, you know, it's a big industrial company, so there's dangers in buying a big industrial company because it's very cyclical, meaning attached to the economic cycle. Are we expanding or shrinking? Well, worldwide, the economic cycle is not expanding. But here in the U.S. it is, but GE relies a lot on its worldwide operations, and our dollar has been very strong. GE has still done very well despite that. It's going to make $1.50 this year and $1.77 a share next year. Its growth is flat. I mean, there's been no growth in 1 year. But I think that's pretty impressive for what's going on in the world. I think you just roll the dice here. If you maybe buy half your position and then see if you get another pullback and buy the other half. I probably would do it that way. And this would be a long-term hold. I'm just trying to buy it at a good price. GE, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. As you know, that's our number. Let's go to Steve in Encinitas. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, I'm a financial advisor in Encinitas, and I was wondering what you thought of living benefit riders and variable annuities. That's something that you like.
I'm not big on variable annuities. It's not that I used to work for insurance companies back east for a long time, and variable annuities, my biggest problem with them is the expense.
Right. The fees are higher than if you buy a mutual fund, and obviously if you buy mutual funds, no load, low fee type deal.
Yeah, I'd only buy no load mutual funds. I only suggest that everybody buys no load funds. And, you know, a variable annuity means you get to invest the money in different instruments. You know, you can do indexing, you can buy whatever you want, whatever they're offering in the fund. But I know the expenses are very high. And I have a problem because a lot of people sell them to the wrong people. A lot of insurance guys sell them. Remember, I used to be in the insurance business.
Right.
Sell them to the wrong people. In other words, you don't sell.
Particularly some of the indexed annuity crowd of people who go out and just sell everybody an equity indexed annuity.
Yep.
Is a tough one.
Just buy the annuity direct yourself. You can avoid some costs.
Yeah. And well, thanks again.
Thanks. I appreciate the call, Steve. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up next half hour, the discount prescription scam. Have you been approached by this? A prescription scam. Discount, especially at seniors. Everybody tries to attack the seniors. 888-99-CHARTER is our anytime number. You can call right now.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk. You know, you can get a link to our featured Talking Point article. It's there on investtalk.com. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Abijah in San Jose. How you doing, Abijah?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, sure. So I had a question. You know, I was looking for, you know, buying a house, and I was just wondering, you know, whether I should just, you know, wait for a while, or is this a good time to buy since the prices have been rising since past year?
Well, in San Jose, are you thinking about buying in San Jose?
Yeah, I mean, in the Bay Area only, that's correct. San Jose or Milpitas.
Yeah, for everybody else who's listening, the San Jose area real estate is super expensive. And I'm sure you found that out. I mean, prices have just skyrocketed in the last few years. Skyrocketed up there. And you'd be amazed.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think people around the country of Egypt would be amazed what $1 million would buy for you there. It wouldn't buy you much. It would not.
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
So it's a good question. See, some people around the country are going to say, why would he ask about that? You know, in their area, real estate probably hasn't done the same thing as up in the San Jose. Because of Silicon Valley, everybody, I mean, it's booming up there. And it's a good question. Do you buy now and think it's just going to keep going up, or do you wait? Well, for me, I would have a hard time spending that much money up there right now. I think I'd wait, unless you really need or want a house right away, then just go ahead and bite the bullet. Because I don't think you're going to have a collapse in real estate market up there, because that means you have to have a collapse in Silicon Valley, and I don't see that happening. You know, I just don't see
it. So you don't
the
timeline.
I think that you might get a pullback in the prices, but only if we go into a recession. And I'm not convinced we're going to see one anytime soon. So I think you just flip the coin. I can't say that it's a good time to wait or a good time to go ahead and buy, because I do think mortgage rates probably over time will start to creep up on you. And therefore, you'll be even more expensive to buy a house. Even if the house price the house price goes down, you still, you know, could pay more. Real estate mortgage rates are pretty cheap. That's a tough question. Okay. That's a tough question. I think, I hate spending the money as you're going to talk about, but at the same time, I think it might not be a bad idea to lock in the low mortgage rates. You know?
Oh, okay.
Good luck. Okay. Sorry, I wasn't much help.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah. San Jose is a tough situation, everybody. I mean, gosh, the prices are so high. They are so high. It's time for InvestTalk Personal, the day-to-day money decisions that can have a lasting impact on your financial health. We've all heard of the adage, it's too good to be true. Well, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Or the other one, the other adage, a sucker is born every minute. Unfortunately, these go hand in hand, and I believe there's truth in both of them. I really do. And yesterday, Justin spoke with you about the scams directed to seniors, and that seems to be where everybody points to. And he talked about the Social Security ripoff. Here's another one. Discount prescription scams. And these fraudsters offer senior citizens prescription drugs at 50% off. And the catch is, you have to be a member, and it costs $200. There's a $200 fee to be a member, and you have to do it with a credit card. You see where that's going? They get $200 out of you, and they get your credit card. Now, it's very easy to fall for this scam because they sound very, very good. Now, one way to prevent it is check with the state. They have, every state has programs for low-income health insurance. They typically have a master list comprised of the reputable discount programs. Okay, so you have to check it out. Just don't buy into it. Check it out with your state. So watch out for the discount prescription scam. And that's InvestTalk Personal. If you have a question on any topic or this topic, let's talk about it. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
If your portfolio holds three stocks in roughly equal proportions, well, there's 33% of value in each of them. If one destructs, it may be a big dent in your nest egg. So how many stocks or funds should you have? That's a question for Steve. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him right now.
How about Bruce? Andy, how are you doing, Bruce?
Hi. I would like to know, are there any general principles or guidelines I can use to make a judgment after a stock has broken out either to the upside or the downside that is a low probability that a throwback or a pullback will not occur? In other words, I'm worried about that happening, and I want to be in a low probability that when I decide to invest more or put money in, that the pullback or the throwback will not occur.
Okay, so you're trying to hedge your bets that when you invest, you do not want to have less of a chance of a pullback. And yeah, there's ways to do that. First of all, you look at the fundamentals and make sure that stock is worth more than it's trading at. Because that's number one. Because if the stock is worth more, you'll have more of a chance for people looking at it and wanting to stay in it, as opposed to wanting to take their profits because it's overvalued, especially the professionals.
I wanted to see if I could avoid the pullback. In other words, is it a matter of time or is it a matter of how far it broke out initially?
This is an issue that every professional deals with because there's no real clear answer on it, Bruce, but I'll tell you some rules. If the stock moves up, most of this is going to be about charting because you're looking at the technicals, not the fundamentals. What's going to be a pullback? Where will it pull back to? And why will it pull back? If you're looking at a chart, a one-year regular chart on a daily movement of a stock price, if it goes up at a greater than 45-degree angle, chances are very good that you're going to have a 50% retracement in that move at some point. So some stocks pop up over a few week period, just jump up because of all of a sudden everybody gets excited about that. But then everybody starts to take profits. A 10% pullback in a stock is normal. So if you see a 10% pullback in a stock and then it stops going down, there's a high probability of buying that stock and it won't pull back another 10%.
Okay.
part of this is you have to look at the volatility of that particular issue. It goes up or down 3% in a day or 1/10 of 1% a day. How volatile is it? You have to kind of look at a chart and see. You can see where a stock has pulled back before and stopped going down. If it pulls back to that point and stops again, and it's done it two or three times, we call that double bottoms or triple bottoms. The high probability it won't go through that bottom. It will not go through that bottom.
I see, and that would apply to indexes too.
Yes, it does. One of the reasons why it doesn't is because people like me look at charts and we react to them. So we start buying at those pullback points and they stop going down.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is Invest Talk.
Now, consumer confidence came out today for January is at 98%. And that was from 96.3% last month. That was December. And they expected 96.2%. So it was much better than they expected. And I know it's only 2%, but they expected it to fall a little bit, and it didn't. And it's surprising. That's much better than you would think because the stock market has been down so much in January. Remember, this is for January, so they just did this. Now, and the market being down, 9%, you would think that, that confidence. But why is the consumer not worried too much? Because there's lots of jobs. Because gas at the pump is cheap. Prices are cheap. So, even home prices are up. Tomorrow we have the new home sales report come out tomorrow. But, there's not a, for the consumer, that's kind of good news for the consumer. Those of us who have nice jobs, that is, it's not a bad situation. The stock market, it goes down. Yeah, it's hurt my 401k. But I have other parts of my life, we're doing well. I think that's what you're looking at. That's why the confidence was up. I don't really like the consumer confidence report that much because it's fickle. It's very fickle. I mean, it could go up and down for no reason fundamentally that would impact the economy for any reason. You can't use it, to say, the consumer's up, therefore, they'll be spending a lot of money, therefore, stock earnings recovery is going to go up. It doesn't relate that way. It doesn't. So it's not the best of indicators. Whether you have a stock question or want to talk about an investing strategy or just want to know how to roll over your 401k into an IRA, we're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Eric from Hayward, California. I'm a government employee with a TSP plan, the Thrift Savings Plan. And I was just wondering what funds should I be in. I'm a 40-year-old. I have about $250,000. I was wondering what funds should be the best for me. I only have a choice of three funds, C, S, and I. And I was wondering what would be good for me to be staying international, common stock, or small caps. Can you please answer that? Thank you, sir.
Yeah, the PSP, Thrift Savings Plans, as a government employee here in California, they don't offer you hardly any choices, very little choices. They have those, as he mentioned, I think they have G is growth, I is international, S is, they have like four or five choices, and that's about it. And if you're 40 years old, if you're in for a long haul, you probably want to have a little bit in the international and the rest in your growth. You don't want to be in the income part of, I think they have one of those funds for income. But man, your choices are so limited. You really can't do much. So you might as well be in growth and a little bit international. And the market will go down. You just keep investing in it. You'll be fine, especially if you're 40 and you got 20 years before you retire. That's probably what you do. You don't have a lot of choices. There's not much way of you can protect yourself except to go into cash. And how do you know when to get back in the market, get out of the market, get back? Timing the market doesn't work. So you really can't do it that way. So you stay with the growth and stay with, you know, maybe 10 to 15% international, and you just bite the bullet and stay with it, and you will do well over time. But it will have times when you feel very ill because it will go down with a bear market. Now, let's get your voice on the program, everybody, for all of your money questions. 888-99-CHART is our number. You'll hear questions about stocks, 401ks, funding for your kids' college, all that kind of stuff. Real estate, we'll talk about it all. We're open to any questions about retirement planning. So give us a call. Or you can just give us, you know, you can just share your thoughts about these things too. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. How about some brutal facts on the stock market? Number one, so far, 6 out of 10 large cap sectors have posted year-to-year declines. So 60% of large cap sectors are down. Bear markets defined as 20% fall or more in the major indexes, can happen outside a recession. You don't have to have a recession to have a bear market. It has happened 16 times since the Great Depression, 1939. 16 times we've had a bear market without a recession. Two sectors are up in January, only two, utilities and telecommunications. Two sectors are the worst, financials, this is just January, just this month. Financials were the second worst performers, down 10.7%, and then materials, the worst performer, down 11.6%. So those are some brutal facts about the market. I have much more brutal facts that I'm not sharing with you. For 2015, the market was much worse than the major indexes would indicate. There was a lot worse, a lot more blood in the streets. Many stocks are down 20% or more, and they're already in bear market territory. Many, not a majority, I'm not saying that, but so many of them, it's very painful. And only 9 stocks in 2015 really helped greatly the S&P and the NASDAQ. 9 tech stocks. Stocks like Netflix, Google, there's those kind, there was like 9 of them. And that, if you didn't have those 9s, you were in big trouble for 2015. We're down to our last segment, everybody. Last segment of the show, but there's still time for you to ask a question if you are. Give me a comment if you want to. Would you like a short list of ETFs that hold a broad mix of dividend-paying stocks? An ETF list of dividend ETF that's just focused on dividends. I have it. It's free. Just ask me. And if you're an InvestTalk insider, you'll see it on our website. All you have to do is sign up for InvestTalk.com. It's free.
Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Tim, Newport Beach, how you doing?
Thanks for taking my call. This is an insurance question, and I'm with a insurance company, a longtime customer, mm-hmm. and I have home, rentals, and auto. No claims whatsoever, mm-hmm. and their premiums have gone through the roof. It's one of the publicly traded companies.
Which one? You can tell them.
Allstate.
Okay.
And,
you know, Tim, you need to get competing bids. You'll find that you'll get a big, much bigger, you get a bargain. You will find other companies that will, if you don't have any claims, remember, and just so you'll know, Tim, they find out. If you don't fess up to them, they will find out if you have claims. They have a system called the CIB index, the insurance between the insurance companies, and all of them report to the third party that reports, every insurance company reports every claim to a third party. And then they all the members of this index, you have to pay to be a member, submit your name and your social security number to that index. They'll find out about every claim you ever made.
So you can't, good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Most people don't know that. I used to work in the insurance business. That's how I know.
Oh, good. What's the downside?
There's really no downside. Even though you're a long-term customer and you say, well, gee, I don't want to lose my my relationship. You know what? Insurance companies, they don't give 2 cents about your relationship, Tim. You have too many claims, your history. Let's say all of a sudden you had 2 or 3 claims, a rash for some reason, for your house. They'll cancel you. They'll double your rate. They don't care about the 20 years you're with them. You have to shop around. Insurance is always available. You can find it. I guarantee you, Tim, you'll find it for 25% less than you're paying today somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah, you will find it cheaper. All you do is call up a few companies. There's so many. If you email me, Tim, I'll give you several companies I think you should check with.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay, Tim, appreciate it. Just go to investtalk.com and hit contact us, and type in, I'm the guy on the radio show. Could you give me a couple of insurance companies to check some rates for homeowners, auto? And also, Tim, I don't know if you do this, but if you might want to get excess insurance, you get umbrella?
I do.
Okay, then good. That's the way you go about it. Some people buy I'll buy $2 million or with their insurance. Well, no, buy $500,000, then get $2 million umbrella. Yeah,
all
that's
right.
much cheaper way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate the call. China's economy is not melting down, everybody. Even despite all what you're reading, it's not melting down. China is trying to change its model, right? Moving from just a purely manufacturing company to a more of a consumer-driven economy. So, and it seems to be working. The service sector went up 8.3% in 2015, where construction and manufacturing only grew at 6%. And service sector is all focused at the consumer. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying. They have huge problems. They screwed up their financials. They have a lot of debt. They're messing up, even their market. They spent $500 billion last year to try to bolster their market, which was probably a total waste of $500 billion. But then they still have $3.3 trillion left to throw at any problem they want to. So have they had setbacks, financial setbacks, capital market reform setback? Yes. But is it a crisis? No. No. And so I don't, I think most of the damage of China's shrinking economy is already built into the price. Everybody knows it already. It's like Apple and its earnings that came on after hours. There's been bad news written about Apple for a month or two or three. So it's kind of new. When the earnings came out, they beat expectations by a little bit, and they grew their earnings more than they did last year, but the growth rate fell. So Apple still made a ton of money, and it still grew its sales, but just grew less. And it still beat expectations, but not by a lot. But did everybody already know that? Well, we'll know what happens to the stock price tomorrow, right? We'll know. But is Apple cheap? Yes. So, is China falling apart? No. They have problems? Yes. Just the facts. Our time is up. Save the date, Saturday, February 20th in San Jose. That's our next Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. Survival and opportunities in a volatile market. I think it's very apropos. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And consider this an invitation to come back tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.